Welcome to Iteration, a weekly podcast about programming, development, and design. My name is John. I work at a startup doing tech stuff, and I'm joined by JP. Hey, JP.
Hey, so I'm JP. I'm a software engineer at a tech startup. I also do tech web startup-y cool hip things that, you know, that engineers do these days. But I'm excited because today we are going to talk about a topic that I never thought would be a topic of this podcast, which is CSS, how it fits into our jobs, how we use it, what our approach is, everything in between. So I just want to start us off by quickly getting your pulse. And I wanted to ask you this question, John, of where are you on CSS? I want to see like a gladiator style thumbs up, thumbs down. In the middle. And where do you land on how you feel about CSS?
Honestly, CSS, here I go. I am a double thumbs up.
What?
I am a hyper fan of CSS. I love CSS. I find myself, when I need to like design something, oftentimes just reaching for CSS and divs instead of actually like opening up Sketch, because I can work so fast in it. To me, it's like very understandable, and I'm very comfortable with CSS overall. I am very pro CSS. I love it. Like, shout out from the rooftops. I'm a fan.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's very interesting, because where I land is I'm kind of a thumbs down.
In
the middle. I just like, I wish I was better at it, and I don't really like writing it. It just feels tedious to me. But
interesting.
I don't know. That's just like,
to me, it's like one of the most natural parts of doing web development. Like, CSS feels like the most natural part of it to me, and like the piece with the least amount of friction in my mind. It's like I can look at a design and I can implement it with CSS, and I can do it relatively eloquently and in a maintainable way, and it just like feels good. I think part of it is like I've just been writing CSS for a long time at this point. So it like all feels very natural, and it, like, it hasn't changed all the way from when I was reskinning MySpace pages. Like, it's just kind of gotten better, but the fundamentals haven't changed. This idea of cascading style, the thing at the bottom redefines what's at the top. Like, and it's just the way my brain works. Like, I feel like I have this brain that's very artistic, but loves structure and order in things. So it's like this perfect combination of like, ooh, it's like Rembrandt in a spreadsheet. That's what CSS is to me. And I just love it. And it's also like the most fun part in a way, in that it's the least amount of effort for the most exponential return in like experience. Cause you can take like an ugly table and add a few lines of CSS and just make it like really pretty and do so much. And so to me, I think CSS is like the salt of the internet. Cause like it takes just a little bit and it makes things so nice versus like static. No, you can push it too far, and there's definitely problems with CSS, but I feel like the problems with CSS aren't with CSS. They're with how hard we try to push it into like weird NPM frameworks and extractions and cross compiling. And like, I feel like that's when it breaks down, but like CSS isn't the problem in my mind.
Okay. Interesting. I think we just have a very different approach to how we think about things. Mm. To me, and this is interesting or funny or ironic that I say this, because I used to be a designer. So you would think that this would be like the best part of writing code for me. But I just see it as like this, it's almost this like after, it's like this thing I have to do after I write the other code that I'm writing. That I'm like, well, I have to make this thing look presentable. So to me, it's just like not really fun and all kind of tedious. And it's not really I don't know. Some parts of it are challenging, but I think it's because I just spend way too much time, more than I would like, tweaking things, because I'm like, Well, this looks like shit and I want it to like not look like shit. And then I end up like 3 hours later on a fucking nav bar making the hamburger menu look perfect.
You know, I think that's you can end up in just this like circular, like adjusting a drop shadow for an hour if you aren't careful. And I think too, like there's organizations that like really push for pixel perfect design, and then you just end up in this just like rabbit hole of circular, like, oh, it's 2 pixels off, it's 1 pixels off, and it's just like, fuck, I just need to get this out the door. So I could hear that as well, but again, that's not CSS's problem.
Yeah,
like,
I
that's
know,
your
I get
own
that.
Self-discipline problem, and that's like an organizational problem. Like, don't put this on CSS. Stop putting all your baggage on CSS. CSS is fine.
Yeah. See, so I'm like a thumbs down, wavering on like a thumbs in the middle.
Okay.
But I don't know that I just like, that's like my pure raw emotional reaction to CSS.
Valid. Totally valid.
I would love to be a two thumbs up, but I'm a two thumbs up on Tailwinds, which we'll get into in a little bit. Mm. So I'm into like different CSS frameworks, but I think CSS as like holistically, I'm just like not really there, but maybe this conversation will convince me otherwise.
Sure. Fair enough. To me, like the question about whether to hate or love CSS isn't about the frameworks, isn't about like, cause like you have the question here, like, what do you love about CSS? What do you hate? Mm-hmm. The thing I would hate about CSS, if anything, is like all the layers we've tried to put on top of it to make it quote, like more efficient or easier. Like any times I've struggled with CSS, it's like I'm on a client project and they have this insane gulp process that's like rendering the SAS and they're pushing variables in these freaky ass ways. But ultimately, that's not CSS's problem. And again, like I feel like we put a lot of those other systemic problems onto CSS when it has nothing to do with CSS. And I don't know how else we would style things efficiently. Like, I think it's really great that we have the structure in HTML, like the logic in your backend, whatever, but then you have this style component as separate, like this is the, how the way it should look. This is the skin on top in this separate document. Like, imagine if we were trying to style everything with some type of visual editor and then code to it, like that would be fucking nuts. And so to me, it's like, how else would you do it besides something like CSS? And in that world, it's like, this is pretty damn good. It's very complete and it works really well. And it continues to evolve in really good ways. We're getting things like grid. So yeah, I stand by and I'm trying to convince you that you need to love it.
Okay. So, wow, that's really interesting. There's just so many different approaches to styling applications these days.
Sure.
Like when you build a JavaScript front end, whether it's like Vue or if it's like a stimulus thing with Rails or if it's React, how do you do your styles? Do you do them normally with like you have your like a CSS like a SAS file that just compiles in your like asset pipeline, or do you do things where you like break things down into like components so that like a JavaScript component has its own styling and then you compose
like inline
components?
Styles within the component based styling. So I think that, you know me, I shy away from this kind of like pushing the front end into things like React fully. And I tend to be more the old school approach of let's do this in HTML and CSS and then add the JavaScript interactions on top of all of that. And so my short answer is everything is at a very traditional, like I'm very missionary style with my CSS. It's very like traditional, like folder structure. It's SAS. I do SAS and it all compiles as just CSS. And my actual components just have classes. Like that's it. I'm not doing a ton of crazy stuff. So my components, even if I have like a view component, it just has a class that defines its style, and that's defined in the style sheet. I don't push to this like whole component based style tenant that people push. It makes sense in a lot of frameworks, and again, I feel like some of those things are just pushing it really, really far, and then you kind of like create more problems for yourself in a lot of ways. And it's obviously needed for some types of interactions, but I've had the benefit that everything that I build is like pretty straightforward. It's like forms and databases, and like I don't have those like really extreme interaction requirements for the most part. I've done some of that stuff, but I don't have that for the most part.
Yeah, I kind of fall in the same bucket as you do with the way that we think about things. I just have JavaScript components. Sure, they might be reusable, but I just throw classes in there. For some reason, I can't get behind this like styled components thing, like CSS and JS. It just feels like inline styles to me. And I get it. I get that, like, you know, it's 2020 and we should be writing CSS in a more like modular, reusable way, the same way that we write backend code. But it's just like it just breaks my brain a little bit. And I'm just like not into it, which is totally fine.
Yeah, but I feel like I do, and we'll talk more about like our specific approaches in a little bit, but I feel like I do push for reusable CSS. And I think classes are an argument for that, like component-based CSS. Like I very, very rarely create one class name for a specific component. Like I create a reusable class name that's used across components and then modifiers on those components. So, I mean, that said, let's get into frameworks, CSS frameworks. And that's the main meat of our conversation. conversation outside of just CSS.
Yep.
So like, let's like blast through the popular ones. There's Bootstrap, Tailwinds, Tachyons, Material UI, Skeleton. There's 5 dozen other that I'm leaving off this list, but those are like the kind of most popular ones. Definitely Bootstrap by far is the largest. And then Tailwinds is growing incredibly fast and it looks really, really pretty. Yep. Do you have any initial thoughts on this framework list that we've selected, or any kind of thoughts about which ones are most popular, which ones you love and hate immediately?
Oh, dude, we're definitely missing one. I just realized. What's that one?
Oh, which one?
Oh man, what's that like Bootstrap competitor? They have like this like furry animal as their like.
Oh shit! Yeah, Foundation.
Foundation as their like mascot.
Yeah, Foundation.
How did Thank I you. Forget You're about so right. Foundation?
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I think it's floundering lately in its popularity.
Oh,
I
really?
Think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. My initial thoughts on this are, wow, Bootstrap. You still use Bootstrap, huh? Sorry, I'm just a little.
No, I know. I feel a bit like a Luddite still using Bootstrap. I just know it so well. It's so second nature to me. And I did have a little bit of conflict when I initially started the current project I'm in. Like, as you know, I've joined a team more full time and working on a single project. And it was about 6 months ago we started the code base, and I had a long thought process of like, what CSS framework am I going to pick? Because now I'm building against that. And I still, 6 months ago, I picked Bootstrap. If I was starting today, I would probably pick Tailwinds, not Bootstrap.
Interesting.
If I was starting today, but it's like, it's been 6 months of development. And I think 6 months ago, Tailwinds was not ready for prime time, in my opinion. It just wasn't there yet. And so it's like, and I knew it. I was like, I'm gonna wish I picked Tailwinds because it's gonna be there in 6 months. And I think the other piece though is my team's comfort level. Like everybody's very comfortable with and totally knows Bootstrap already, the same way we do. We used it across 8 different Rails apps in the last 5 years. So it's like just such sentient nature. And I've been through like 3 versions of Bootstrap, know they support and like move into the future pretty damn well. But yeah, let's just do Bootstrap versus Tailwinds for a second, because those are the big top two right now.
Yes, I was going to say we should distill it and kind of just let all the others fall to the side, right? Because like Tachyons,
yeah, not that they're not great.
Yeah.
Not that they're not great, and not that they're like, I'm sure there's incredible support out there and people love them, but definitely like by GitHub stars and usage and sexiness right now, like the two there, there's the behemoth of Bootstrap and like the new upstart of Tailwinds. I think that that's pretty accurate.
Yes. Plus Material, that covers like 20 different other CSS frameworks that people have started that are like just Material based.
Some are based on Bootstrap, some are based on Foundation. It's a whole thing. It's a whole world in itself, the whole Material UI stuff.
Yeah.
So, okay, actually let's get higher level for a second. What cool. The fuck is a CSS framework, JP?
You know what's weird is that I see Bootstrap and to me it's like almost not a CSS framework, but it is. It really is.
I agree with you. I think that criticism is valid.
I don't know why I think this, but when I think of like Bootstrap, for me, it's like Bootstrap and Tailwinds are such very different things. Yep. So at a high level, what I would consider a CSS framework, and as I'm like thinking of this definition in my head, I'm like, well, I guess Bootstrap is a CSS framework. A CSS framework to me is like this. Here is a set of components that you can build, and these are like predefined classes that we've made that you can use in your own CSS, and it will give you pre-built UI. So if you want to build like a card, here is the dot card. Here's the class. If you want to add a shadow, add this shadow utility class to your card, and you'll have a card with a shadow.
We lost connection. I wonder if that's on my end or JP's.
Wow, what is going on? Okay, so the call just ended, and I'm going to say that on this recording, and I'm going to refresh. And we're just going to have to do some video magic. Still recording. Messages. Huh. Okay, that's really annoying. I go to Chrome.
Huh. Hey.
Wow. In our 2 years of recording, I don't think that's ever happened.
I don't think so either, where the call just fucking drops. Honestly, though, the internet is being pushed to new extremes right now. And what's great is we were at a great stopping point, because I can just ask you again, like, okay, what the fuck is a CSS framework? And we can start from there, because you really hadn't gone too far into that.
Not at all, no.
You still recording?
Yes, I never stopped.
Okay, cool, me too. All right, so our call dropped for a second, so I don't know if this edit will be clean, but it should be clean. So, you know, before we jump into comparing Bootstrap to Tailwinds, what the fuck is even a CSS framework? Help me just think this at a high level.
Yeah. Okay. So let me give you my definition of what a CSS framework is, and then maybe we can compare notes, because I just have a hard time thinking of Bootstrap as a CSS framework, and I don't know why that is.
I think that's a valid criticism, though.
Because, like, Bootstrap and Tailwinds are just two very different things. My mental model of each of those things is just way different. But
right. Their approaches are totally different.
But they kind of accomplish the same thing, right? Because, like, if you want a card in Bootstrap and you want a card in Tailwinds, it's more or less the same thing. So to me, how I would define a CSS framework is, like, a set of classes that let you build UI. Predefined classes by the library author, the framework author, that give you a set of, like, core UI elements and core utility helpers, right? So if I want a card, I would apply the card class. And if I want a card with a shadow, I would apply the shadow utility class with that, right? So what that might look like is that I might have my class, like I might have a div that has a class card and shadow. And then I have this like nicely built UI that I don't have to worry about, right? Like it has like a nice white background. It has a drop shadow. It has rounded edges, things like that. And I think the big thing that CSS frameworks provide is a way of laying out your pages, right? I think that's like a huge thing that makes a CSS framework. Otherwise, I think that's what distinguishes like a CSS framework from like just a set of utilities, right? Because you need a way to have like a marketing page that has 8 or 9 columns. You need to have these like different things. Like I want a sidebar. I don't think a CSS framework would be complete without a mechanism to do that at the very least. Mm-hmm. Which is why I have such a hard time thinking of Bootstrap as no, that doesn't make sense. I take that back. As soon as I'm going to say that,
we'll get more into the like specifics of the differences. And I think it's a valid criticism that feels less like a framework and more, it just like doesn't feel quite as clean in that same definition. And I agree with that because like a software framework overall is a best practice and a collection of libraries for using a specific language. Like that's kind of how I would loosely define a framework. So like you can use just plain vanilla JavaScript to go build a full website, but also you could get a lot of wins by using Vue.js or using React, because here's this best practice and libraries that you can use and leverage to recreate things. It's kind of a shortcut. So it's kind of a starting point. Probably everyone listening to this already knows that, but it guides the conversation well. So that said, like what's the difference between Bootstrap versus Tailwinds approach? So I would say, and I think this is a totally valid criticism, Bootstrap is more about complete pre-built components. Like the way you would define like a card is by using a class name called card. And it would specify a bunch of different things. That card class name would specify the background color, the rounded corners. And so it's more about like building these completed components and reusing these completed components. Like to go into Bootstrap and you click on their components tab and it's like, here's the exact form elements fully fleshed out. And that's how you end up with all these fucking websites that look exactly the same. And it's just like, okay, this is just Bootstrap 3.4. I can see exactly what this is. They didn't even customize the colors of the thing at all. But I think that is a valid criticism. Where do you want to talk us through how Tailwinds would approach something like a card?
Yeah. So the way that Tailwinds would do it is that you would use... So if you're familiar with Bootstrap has a bunch of like utility classes, right? So if you want like no margins or no padding, you would just add, actually it's been so long since I've used Bootstrap. How would you do that?
P0.
Okay. So M0. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Wow. That's funny that I forgot that. it's just how long I have not worked with, Bootstrap, but with Tailwinds, you would basically compose a set of utility classes, right? So the methodology or the thinking behind that is quick prototyping, because you would compose a card with like background white. So these would be for the classes that you add to like a div, for example, would be like background white, rounded corners, drop shadow, padding 3, margin 4. Yeah. And then when you see that pattern, you could then do this thing where you take all of like that set of classes, and then you can do this thing where you basically throw that into its own class, right? So then you as a developer would then define like, this is what a card is. And then
and it's defined by a set of classes. And so like the fundamental difference between Bootstrap and Tailwinds is that Bootstrap has fewer classes, arguably. I'm not like looking at the names, but like generally there's fewer classes that define more things. Where Tailwinds is a more verbose approach, where you have broader class definitions that are then recomposed into different types of things. So instead of like giving you a card or giving you a popover, like they give you more broad class definitions of padding, background color, rounding, like more attributes to things to generate your own things. Is that about right, would you say?
It is. And it feels icky because you're like, well, what's the difference between this and like inline styling?
Yeah.
And I don't have an answer that is accurate, but I do think it has something to do with the way that the CSS is like compiled, so that like if you use a class, it's not recreating that class every time. It's like reaching for the same definition. Right. So if you're
talking from
like,
a performance standpoint.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. It's way more performant to use classes, even if you do have 10 classes added than 10 inline styles, for sure. But I think also, like, there's also the difference of you can define the classes in a different spot still, even though it is more granular. Yeah, it's just kind of the reason I don't love the Tailwinds approach. Like I said, if I was to start today, I would use Tailwinds, but I've been in projects that use Tachyon-like approach. So Tailwinds is very much in this same idea of Tachyons, which is like a lot more classes applied to define different types of components. So to define a card, you're going to throw on like 7 different class names potentially. I've been in projects that are just a hot mess with tachyons that is like literally a dozen or more class names in every single div. And it's just fucking nuts. And it's just too much. And it's not even like manageable and navigable in a way that's sensible. So I think the step that you defined, which is like throwing these subclasses into a parent class to be able to reuse that, is the step that people often miss with tachyons and tailwinds that I think is a problem and can be a problem in larger, more complex design systems. Especially when you're pushing this stuff really, really far and you have all types of like weird stripes and background colors and like you're making very bespoke user interfaces, then it can just like be too much. And then to me, it just makes sense to start making like higher order class components that define more attributes within them. To me, it makes more sense.
Yeah, I think that is like a crucial step. But you know how development goes. You're like you're constantly
get it shipped.
You're constantly in beta, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, we'll fix this later. And then you never fix it later. But I totally agree with you. I don't know. I go back and forth of whether of how much I love and hate seeing all of like the tachyons classes. So let's take a step back for a second. So there's like basically there's like two different approaches that we're talking about here of how you style your HTML. And Bootstrap takes on this like, let me just give you like a class, right? So I would say that Bootstrap is more of like an all-in-one solution, right? So it's like you just have a card, and the card under the hood has like, I don't know, 8 different style attributes, right?
Yep.
Whereas there's this other thing called atomic CSS, which is, I think, more of a description of how tachyons and tailwinds approaches things. So atomic CSS is kind of exactly what it sounds like, where you have like these little tiny discrete chunks of classes where you have like padding 0, margin 3, border radius 5, whatever. And then you compose these as like, it's like a functional approach to CSS, right? Like you're composing this function. So there's like two very different mindsets of how you style components. And so that's kind of like the big difference that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So the big step that you missed there is like, once you finish the prototype, once you're finished in this like prototype phase of like, hey, you know, I don't know what a card is going to be like, so I'm going to throw 8 different classes into my HTML. And then eventually make that abstraction later once I see that pattern enough times that I then at that point I define that as like a card. And I go back and forth of really loving all of the flexibility of just seeing a bunch of like tachyon vomit, like CSS vomit in my in my HTML. Yeah.
And then it's very straightforward. Really, you know exactly what's going on.
And then also really hating it, because then you look at your HTML and you're like, oh my God, like what is all this crap? This is like like nonsense. It's almost, if that's like, if you're onboarding a new developer who's never seen tachyons, I guarantee you, or any sort of like atomic style CSS, I guarantee you their reaction is like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is all of this like nonsense? Like M0, P0, B dash dash black dash 600, like what is all this shit? But then when you get used to it, I'm actually like, I understand everything that's going on and it doesn't really bother me as much anymore. But you know, it does sort of sometimes feel like, do I just have a bunch of inline styles? Like, what's the difference between like inline styles and this? It's arguably different.
No, it's definitely different. Yeah. And there's, and like I said, like there is different, there's different reasons to reach for all these tools. And in fact, some of these approaches can be used a bit interchangeably. Like I tend to use Bootstrap as my foundation and then write a lot of atomic like CSS on top of Bootstrap. And even CSS lately has adopted more of the atomic like approaches when adjusting like padding and styling and border radiuses. Like they're adopting a lot more of that approach. But to me, especially the more modern version of Bootstrap, like it's a good in-between where you get this set of pre-built, you get this box of Legos that are kind of pre-built and you can also customize them. And it thinks the way I think in terms of like the simple SaaS that I build, which is like, here's the set of buckets you need. Like you need buttons, you need a list group. Like it just like works in my brain. It's interesting too, because like there's the technical approach. Like which do you like? These higher order components that define more arguments against them, or a more granular approach like this atomic style. But then there's the whole argument on like which starting aesthetic do you like more? Which to me is really interesting, because a lot of people pick a CSS framework just based on like its aesthetic, which to me is like why Tailwinds in a lot of ways has a lot of traction right now in my mind, is because it looks really great and it feels very 2020 and it feels very modern. But I feel like that's the worst argument for picking a framework, because you shouldn't just keep the fucking default styles. You should make it your own. And so I think in general, what I don't like about CSS frameworks is that we have all these websites that look exactly the same. And I'm a proponent of that. I've built probably 5 websites in my life that are barely changed Bootstrap styles. Like I picked a new font and one new color and I just like pooped out the website. I think that is a problem. And I think that's what I think you run the risk of by picking a framework, is that it's like you just build a repermutation of just Tailwind stuff and it's just like done. And it's like, oh, this is just a Tailwind website. Do you have any thoughts on that, JP? Because like that's what makes me want to just write my whole own CSS framework and like do something that looks unique and feels unique.
Yeah. So this is going to kind of get into like what I wanted to hone our conversation into, which is I wanted to talk about like the pros and cons of what we think the pros and cons are for Bootstrap and Tailwinds, because that's like sort of what we're focusing on. And so let me give you the pros and cons of Tailwinds, because I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm a big fan of Tailwinds. So that's where I land on it. And so for me, a big pro for Tailwinds is that I'm using Tailwinds for like a little fun side project or whatever, this like little toy thing, right? And I've been able to write literally zero CSS. The caveat there is that there's this thing that you can purchase called Tailwinds Components, which is basically like, if Tailwinds was Bootstrap, what would it look like?
Exactly. So at that point, you're just basically using a better looking Bootstrap.
Yes. But I've only used it for like certain little things where like, I don't want to build this like newsletter form. So I'm just going to use their newsletter form. It's a little bit, I would say it's like one step above Bootstrap in terms of what it gives you, because Bootstrap will give you like a card, but Tailwinds Components will give you like, here is this sign up form, or like,
yeah, here literally is a finished thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Here is this like thing, of like, exactly. Here's this finished thing. So I've been using that for like little things that I just personally don't want to build. But if you look at what it is under the hood, it's literally just Tailwind's like classes. Like I could certainly do that myself if I knew Tailwind's enough, but I don't. And so I'm standing on the shoulders of giants by mm-hmm. using the work, the hard work of other people. But what I really like about Tailwind's and what the pro is for me is that it lets me write zero CSS. So I've successfully gone this far on this project without writing a single line of CSS.
Okay, but like I hear that and you don't like CSS. So to you, that's a pro and that's fair enough. And here's the big but I would put on that. I think that is a pro and I think you've moved really quickly and you've made a great looking website. Like I've seen this side project. It looks fantastic. However, it looks like Tailwind components. You didn't make something that is its own creation. Of course, like you use these building blocks and it looks great, but like it's not going to win any awards for like breaking ground in new design territory. Is it highly usable? Does it look absolutely great? Like, yes, it does. But it also looks like a re-permutation if there was a criticism to be had in it. So the pros are you moved really quickly. You didn't have to write any CSS and it looks really fucking good. But the cons are it's like, it's very derivative of what like is this Tailwind thing, which to me is like a pretty big con.
I think the con only exists. Okay, this is my opinion on this. I think this con only exists because developers reach for the exact same things for Tailwind's classes. Because like if I had like a design that like did not look like Tailwind's at all, I could definitely, with a lot of practice and a lot of banging my head against the wall, use Tailwind's to make like basically any design I want. Right.
That's because true.
I do think it's flexible enough that you can do that. I do think though that the community reaches for the same things, like, right. Mm-hmm. Like we are all reaching for the same classes to build like the same looking cards and the same looking dropdowns and the same looking everything. And I think that's more of a function of like, hey, this is like what the docs provide. And developers like myself who don't like writing CSS will just be like, oh, I'll take that. Like that thing looks, that thing looks good enough.
It's funny too, because again, like I'm putting something on Tailwind that's not Tailwind's fault, which is like this whole like dribble circle of everybody designing the same shit over and over again, which I've been in. It's like, that's actually not Tailwind's fault. Like you just said, you could make something fresh and different with Tailwind's components, with Tailwind's classes, but generally we kind of make the same looking stuff.
I do agree.
Which is a totally valid argument. Yeah. But, and I feel like to some degree though, Bootstrap, even more than Tailwind, pushes for like very, it pushes us all to make very derivative websites. They all look the same. It all uses kind of the same set of components. And I think Bootstrap has that con more so even than Tailwind. But I think they both have that con. And I think the pro, like you said, using, you could spin up a website very, very quickly using Bootstrap, same pro, without writing a single line of CSS, and it would look great, it would work great, and it'd be mobile responsive, and you wouldn't have to worry about CSS at all. So I think those are both pros and cons of both Tailwind and Bootstrap. Is there any pros that Tailwind has that Bootstrap doesn't in your mind?
Ooh, that is a good question. I think the pro there for me is that it doesn't come with baked-in components. So it does force you to not reach for the same thing automatically, even though the documentation, whatever. And even though I've bought Tailwind's components, which is basically Bootstrap. But it encourages you to give you this framework in such a way that's like, here's this blank slate, go do whatever you want with it. So I have a follow-up question that I want to pose to both of us, which is like, how do we overcome this idea of creating these like derivative sites that all look like, oh, that's a Bootstrap site, or oh, that's a Tailwind site, or even, you know, extending this conversation to all these other frameworks we've mentioned, like
how
do we overcome that? And is the answer just using custom CSS and not using a framework?
Yeah, I think that could be an answer. It's like, there's a lot of ways to approach that. Cause like I said, like this is more of a systemic problem and just like a creative blocker problem. And ultimately just like a lack of creativity on our part. It's easy to be like, oh, it looks like Bootstrap because I use Bootstrap as a framework, but it's like, you can fully customize this to look like whatever you want. You're not stuck building a Bootstrap looking site. And we'll get maybe a little bit into like how to customize these things in a little bit. But I think that's a bad answer. I don't think changing your tool set should drive your results of what you're changing. It's like, hey, your paintings look derivative of other paintings. It's like, oh, it's because I'm using the same brush. That's a terrible excuse. And so, like, could it be one solution? Like, yeah, if you push yourself to use a different tool set, it would redefine your output for sure. Like, even in the context of painting, like, if you're using really fine brushes, push yourself to use broad brushes and see how that impacts your art. So I think that is valid argument to say you could change your tool set. But I think it goes a higher level up, which is like our initial design thinking. Like when I wireframe, which is, this is a terrible way to wireframe, I literally like think in terms of Bootstrap components. It makes me wireframe very quickly and I get things done very quickly and they look good and they're mobile responsive, but they end up being extremely derivative because I'm literally wireframing, thinking in terms of like, oh, here's a Bootstrap list group and a Bootstrap collapsible nav. And then I'll just use this Bootstrap slider for this thing. And that's the way that I think in building sites. I think those of us who have kind of been steeped in the CSS frameworks for so long tend to think in terms of these given common components. And I think that's a problem. I think we should be more creative and push ourselves on the design side and the wireframing side to not think in these like such specific boxes of components that we're all using.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. And I think as a developer, so you were in the consulting world for so long, you know, I think I would do the exact same thing, right? Like it's almost like you're taking Bootstrap and you're pushing it to its limits and using Bootstrap components to solve business problems, right? Yep. And it's like, well,
design problems, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, maybe I'm projecting because like sometimes when I think about like a CSS framework, I'm thinking like, oh, well, we need to display this like FAQ, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, these are the components at my disposal. And yep. So this is what it's going to look like. Or like, this is what the pagination is going to look like.
100%. And it like limits the actual potential of the product because we're thinking in terms of these components. When in reality, there's probably potentially there's a better way to solve this. All that said, though, I do think there is value in convention. Like, it's nice to know, like, oh, navigation has a certain convention about it. Like, sometimes I go on these agency websites and, like, the navigation is only in the scroll bar. And it's just like, fuck, man, I just need to know how to get to your contact page. And so while I love this idea of thinking outside the box of your CSS framework and trying to be more creative and not thinking in terms of, it's also like sometimes it's good to just like do it the way that everybody does it because we're trying to make things that are usable. Like most times this isn't art pieces. It is somewhere in the middle between like function and form, and we got to strike that balance. But I agree with it overall. Like breaking out of thinking in terms of Bootstrap components or Tailwind components is probably a productive thing to do and think more fundamentally about the problems and the types of information and interactions we're trying to create.
Yeah. I think you touched on something there a little bit, which the answer there is to have like a strong designer, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you have a strong designer that's like pushing you to, you know, break the bounds of what a Tailwinds or Bootstrap website looks like, you will inevitably create a site that doesn't look like it's like a cookie cutter thing, right? Yep. But then it gets tough because you strike this balance of like, I'm writing so much custom Bootstrap or I'm writing so much custom Tailwinds, like it's like getting kind of hard to like make this like really complex thing. To me, like I know Tailwinds can basically do everything, right? Because there's just so many utility, there's literally a utility class for everything. And you can compose complex things with like hovers and like different hover states and this and that. But for me, sometimes it gets to the point where I'm like, well, I can just write some CSS and this would be like way faster for my productivity.
Yeah.
So I guess it depends on like how much you want to push your tooling. But I think there is definitely something to say about like having a strong designer to push you to not use all these like cookie cutter derivative things.
100%. Yeah, I totally agree with that. There's a lot of value in having that like outside perspective on it. And I think too, like look for inspiration outside of the web. Like, I think that some of the best works and things that I'm most proud of, like, I look to old books and old typography, old printed materials and posters for what type of design to do. And those are some of the things that I'm like, oh, that turned out really clean and really nice and very fresh in my mind is when I looked outside of the internet. Because it's just an echo chamber of design overall. And it could be interesting to do a whole podcast on design. So I want to actually bring our whole conversation back to be a bit more technical, at least for today's topic in terms of, like, CSS. Because now we're talking about, like design fundamentals and how to be more creative as a UX designer. And I think that's valid. But I think for the purpose of our conversation, let's get back to methodology. So my question is, Now that you've picked a framework, you know you want to use one. What's the best practices in customizing these frameworks and implementing these frameworks? So I'll let you kind of riff on your approach for Tailwind, because I don't know Tailwind's convention for extending it and customizing it.
Yeah. So the way that you would customize it is you would see a pattern that you're doing a lot, right? So like, let's say you're customizing all of your H1s, because if you throw an H1, the styles are reset. So if you throw an H1 and you throw a paragraph, they're going to look exactly the same. So it's up to you as a developer and like a pseudo designer to say, I want my H1s to be extra large text, bold font, and sans serif, right? So you do this once or twice and you're like, oh, okay, so this is actually a pattern because I've done this two or three times now for my H1s. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that set of classes and I'm going to use this thing that they call the apply function. So the apply function basically is like this thing you write in your, I forget what file it is. There's a very specific file that you do this in. In Rails, I think it's like application.js or something. Sure. Or I don't know. It's like a place where you define all of your like custom classes. So you call this apply function. And if I'm misspeaking, please internet correct me.
Is this in JavaScript or CSS?
No, this is in CSS. So I think this is like a SAS thing, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, I bet it's SAS. That's fair enough.
At this point, I think I'm kind of speaking. I might be not saying the right things. But basically, what you do is you take this apply function and you take all of the classes that define this H1 of like font bold, sans serif font, extra large text, and you throw all of those classes into this class that you define. And let's say you call this like heading. So now instead of writing all of these like four or five different classes every time you define an H1, you just throw in your own custom heading class.
Yeah.
And so that's basically how you would customize it. So instead of like, you know, writing all of that manually in like your own heading class, you just apply the defined classes that Tailwinds gives you. So that's how you would customize Tailwinds. Certainly nothing is stopping you from just like writing CSS normally and applying those own classes, but it's sort of like, discouraged because they want you to sort of like stay within the bounds to never have to like write CSS.
Interesting. That's really different. I totally think that's valid. And I actually really like that approach of like throw all those single classes into that, you know, class of heading. And that's the eight classes that you are using to define your H1. I think that makes a ton of sense. I think that's the step that a lot of people never do. And then it ends up being this total clusterfuck. Bootstrap is different in terms of customization. Like, Bootstrap starts at this premise of variables. So you have the SAS file. It's this giant file that's all your Bootstrap variables. So in this giant file, it literally lays out every single color, every single attribute of any component would use. So like every border radius, every drop shadow, all of that nuance of all the definitions that then each component uses are all defined in one base variables document. So to me, when I have a new project, when I'm looking at the designs, my first step is to customize that entire variable. So like I have the base Bootstrap installed via NPM or gem or however I'm going to install it in the project I'm working in. And then the first thing I have is at the very top of my own CSS is a variables. And that's when I redefine and restyle the entire Bootstrap library to look more like the way I want it to look, to be different. So whether that's custom fonts, custom color sets, padding, spacing, all that stuff, even column definitions, container sizes, all that stuff is all defined at this very higher order variables file. And then from there, like you can just start using Bootstrap components and they will look very different, even though someone, a discerning eye might be able to see it. And it depends on how much you customize those variables. And to me, this model works really well for me because like by defining one kitchen sink of components into a visual style, like boom, I'm off to the races and I can just start using this shit right off the bat. And I like it that it's more defined in a single place. And like, that's where all the variables are defined, like all my custom colors, everything is defined in that one place. And then from there, I build on top of that component sets and start to compose those into my own custom elements through things and add other types of components on top of those things or my own variations of those components. Like a card dark is like a common modifier, and that gets kind of into BEM and how I approach things in BEM. But it's interesting to hear the difference between Tailwind and Bootstrap, because I feel like Bootstrap is very much like, well, here's the CSS, extend it with CSS and leans on CSS. Where Tailwind's trying to keep you out of the CSS. Like, don't touch it. Let us worry about the CSS.
Got it. Well, okay. So I sort of answered the question a little differently than maybe you intended, but there is like an equivalent of that, right? So like,
Variables piece.
Yes. So like, if I want my font to be like a custom font, I would just have to like go into the compilation configuration file, and you can like override
configuration.
You can like override all of that, right? So it's like, if blue is like a slightly different hue, I would just like redefine that. And it's literally the exact same thing. So like, if I want my like breakpoints to be different, I can like change the pixel values.
So it's a big junk drawer of variables, the kind of the same way.
In a similar sense, yeah, it's like it's the same thing where you can like, you can go in and be like, I want my tailwinds out of the box to look like this thing instead of like what it looks like. You could totally do that and have the exact same thing. So the difference is like, I guess the difference is like how you customize things, right? Because like, how would you go about making like card dark versus how would I go about doing card dark?
So there is a built-in card dark attribute.
Oh, okay.
But let's imagine there wasn't. Let's say there's only like a normal card. There's a lot of different ways to approach it, but generally like I create my own set of CSS files. So like I have CSS files, like I have a base folder, and in that base I have things like colors, forms, links, lists, sizing, typography, and those are like more shared higher order styling. And then I'll have components, which is like very specific, fully usable components that I define out myself. So this is like thinking in terms of cascading style sheet, CSS, the very, very lowest level is the base definitions that Bootstrap gives me. Then there's my variables, my custom variables on top. Then on top of that, I start defining my own kind of set of primitives that can be shared across things. So that's things like, one that I always add is an alpha 50. So I add a class of alpha and with every alpha definition there, because I like to use transparency sometimes, and Bootstrap doesn't have any built-in alpha classes. So like I add my own class as a modifier of like alpha 5, alpha 10, alpha 50, and whatever kind of variations I want of that using SAS. So I will add them as my own kind of primitives on top of the Bootstrap primitives that exist. And then again, like I will recompose the Bootstrap primitives, variables, and my own primitives into my own kind of higher order components that are like these custom types of, whether it's cards or a popover or alerts or whatever types of custom components I'm trying to make. Even things like sliders and like more advanced interactions like that.
Interesting. So I think what the big difference between Bootstrap and Tailwinds is, or one of the big differences is that in Bootstrap, if you wanted like alpha 50 on your card, you would have to type out card alpha 50 every time. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to like reuse that and you're like, oh, hey, I'm actually using card a lot, I'm using alpha 50 a lot, then maybe you have something like card alpha 50, right?
But I would define the same way. It's interesting because like in practice, it always depends on like how you use it. And I think any tool or language or library is only good as the people who use it. Like you can write elegant code with an inelegant language, like obviously. And so it's interesting because at the end of the day, like the actual end result like is very, very similar, it sounds like. Which is it's like actually, composing these things into components. Closer than I even thought as we're talking through it.
And it's like the result to the user is the same, and under the hood, it's actually probably exactly the same. Like it's accomplishing the exact same thing. But the difference between Bootstrap and like Tailwinds is that like you would have to rewrite that class of like alpha 50 and card into its own thing, or maybe you do like a CSS mix-in thing where you like include the alpha 50. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Tailwinds, you would just like use this apply function and take like the alpha 50 class and the card class, and then take those two classes and then sort of like mash them together. So it's more akin to like a CSS mix-in, right? So like if you change what the definition of alpha 50 was, if you were to take like, I don't know, a mix-in approach, you would only have to change it once. Same as for like how you would only have to change it once in Tailwinds, right? Because once you change that class definition, it's going to like change all of the instances where it was like applied to as well. I don't know. It's like, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. It's like same shit. It's like, it's really all just like the same thing. But it's interesting that we're having this conversation. One thing I wanted to sort of talk about is like, do you ever find yourself where you're like, I need to customize this thing, and you end up just like writing CSS outside of the bounds of like Bootstrap? Or do you like confine yourself to these like components and these like really atomic things?
No, I definitely write custom components outside of the bounds of of, and like it'll be a single component name, class name that defines 12 plus attributes on that component. I definitely do that. It's less common, but I definitely do it, and I find it to be very useful in my mind. I think my big don't is I never create like a custom class. I very, very rarely, as much as possible, I avoid writing a custom class for like a custom element on a custom page. Like I don't make a class name like sales page call to action form. Like that's just not the way that I think about it, but I'll do something like large call to action form and like have a bunch of CSS that defines that larger call to action form, even down to like custom text styles within that call to action form. Definitely. But I try to keep it more generic and reusable and not tied to the specific content. I really try to separate the content and the styling and the structure and keep that separation of concerns like very dogmatically.
Interesting. Yeah. So I think that also speaks to like what the design requirements are. So I was working on a project where the pages varied so much that the framework I was using was like, I was fighting it so much and I was like overriding all the styles and I was like bringing in components. And then I got requests like, hey, this component doesn't look like the actual form that it needs to look like. And then, so I was like writing so much CSS that I think right now, if I looked at this project, the framework that we're using is probably the entire app. If I look at how much the app is actually using the framework, it's probably like 1% because everything got customized. And then I ended up like not using the framework at all. So I think that frameworks are really good if your design is at least somewhat consistent. Right. Because like sometimes the requirements are such that like you really can't and that like this form needs to look way different than this other form. And it got to the point where
there were still ways to solve that a little bit better. But anyway, it got to the point where,
well, I was going to say like it got to the point where I was like co-locating CSS files and like making custom CSS for every page. And I needed like a really good way to organize that. And like co-locating a CSS file to a page just made like the most sense because it was like either that or have like, I don't know, a CSS directory with like, I don't know, like dozens of CSS files that correspond to like a page, which maybe is also like a nice way of organizing it. But yeah, I don't know.
I was going to say, I actually had a project that was in e-commerce and every single product page had a very different style, like different font set, different color set for every product page, but it was the same elements. And so what I did there is I added like a page level class and then scoped all that CSS. So like I literally had a folder called pages and then every single, it was actually products. So I had in my CSS, which felt very weird, I had a folder called products and then there was a CSS file named for each custom product style in that products folder. And what was nice though, is I was reusing all the same HTML and elements, but then just passing in a custom class to restyle the whole page. And it was like, that's the one time that I have done that where I'm like styling specific product pages. But I think even in that case, like I wasn't making a knives header class. I was making within the knives div a header class and styling that header class reusable that had a base style, reusing it customized for that specific product page. So like that's the way I try to think about like bespoke page styling and content if I have to do it. But I honestly avoid it at all costs because when you start getting a class name that's like knives header and pan header, that's when you start like really shooting yourself in the foot and just making it completely unmaintainable.
Let me ask you this. It sounds like you had the luxury of these pages being like similar, right? Because like you might have a knives page, but and you might have a forks page, but they at least all have the same header. So if you like create this high level thing, you can at least have the same structure and apply all the same classes. But let's say that these pages varied widely from
like
page to page.
Completely wildly, yeah. Yeah, they weren't identical by any means, but they did have like the same, like they all had a checkout button. Like the checkout buttons might be different colors on every product page, but they all had a checkout button. Yeah, but some cases like it varies completely wildly. It's totally different content on every page.
Yeah. And you didn't use Bootstrap, I'm guessing, for this at all?
No, this one was Tachyons. And it was actually a really well-implemented Tachyons, which was nice. So then, like, I just put a modifier above that Tachyon, like, all the Tachyons page. And it's like, okay, for all of these Tachyons within this class, style them all this way, like, to make them more custom. Because otherwise, like, we would be recompiling all the CSS for every page. And then, like, And under the hood, every product page was obviously the same template. So then that would just be fucking nuts. So it didn't make sense. It made a lot more sense to pass a single class name into that product page and then render the specific blocks accordingly. It was a Shopify product with a Shopify project with tachyons on top. It was actually like really interesting and really pushed my CSS and JavaScript knowledge a lot. It was really cool.
Nice. Yeah. I think what pushed my CSS to the limits was having to do this project where I was like customizing every single page to do like all this crazy stuff. I'm like using like pseudo elements. I'm like doing like befores and afters on the same thing. And I was like, wow, I can actually literally, I was writing all CSS. I tried using the framework. I ditched the framework. I ended up using literally custom CSS for everything. This is like the most CSS I've ever written in my life. And maybe that's why I have such a bad taste in my mouth. Is because
that sounds awful. That sounds frustrating.
Because like all of this like crazy customization. But I guess like the cool thing there is like being able to see anything come to life on the page, things that I had never imagined. Yeah. I mean, like, I think one of my picks like a year ago on this podcast was this like website where people like build art on websites with just CSS.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah.
It's called like One Div or something like that. Like they use One Div. And it's like all these crazy pseudo elements. People are like literally creating portraits with like realistic looking hair, like strands of hair with just CSS. And that's
I'm putting it in the show notes. It's a.singlediv.com. It's so impressive. Like, yeah, it's so impressive.
So I guess me having to like write all of this CSS and feeling, so I'm trying to figure out like what my frustration there is and like why I have like this, I associate it with this like negative reaction, this like negative emotion towards it. And I think the reason is like having to just like write a bunch of code and like spit it out like vomit style on a thing just feels icky to me. Like I don't like that feeling, even though the output is like this crazy like UI thing that is actually like impresses myself, but that I was able to build this thing.
I think some of this is like, and I don't remember which book it was from our previous life of the podcast being books, but it was like, let complicated things be complicated. Like, don't try to oversimplify. And I think in some designs, like your CSS is just going to be complicated. You have a complicated design. And I think to some degree, like that's okay. That's just what it is. All right. We're wrapping up our talks on CSS. Is there any last closing thoughts you want to give our listeners about CSS frameworks? I think we should do a follow-up episode on maybe more design and maybe one digging into CSS, vanilla CSS, like tips and tricks. Because like I've got a whole list of like cool vanilla CSS tips and tricks we could talk about.
Yeah, so this conversation was like mostly frameworks. Kind of focused on frameworks.
Yeah.
We did deviate a little bit, but yeah, let's bring it in. Tips and tricks for frameworks. I think my closing thought here on this conversation is, and this is like advice that I'm telling myself, is like don't try to just like be vanilla in the framework and limit yourself to the boundaries of what the documentation shows you, because then you just end up building like a really vanilla website that looks like every other Bootstrap or every other Material or every other Tailwinds website. And it's hard to do that, right? But like if you force yourself to be a little bit more creative, I think the results will speak for themselves.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think my closing thought is, read the docs and extend it correctly, like extend it and be creative the way that they recommend. I shot myself a lot by just like a clusterfuck of vanilla CSS, like intermixed with Bootstrap and all like imported in the wrong way. I remember like one of my first sites, I literally just copy and pasted the Bootstrap CSS into my own project and started just hacking on it. It was a nightmare. It was a fucking nightmare. So like read the docs, use it via NPM or whatever process you're going to use it via, and use it right. Don't just use it with like a hosted, like I see live websites that host their entire Bootstrap like from a middleware server. And it's like, oh my God, like this is another payload. That doesn't make any sense. So read the docs. That's my recommendation. And like extend it the way that they recommend and implement it the way that they recommend. But once you do that, like push it to its limits, like make it really creative, do something different with it, but make sure that you're extending it in a way that's sustainable. So, all right, let's wrap up with some picks.
Okay, cool. So I have a pick. I don't know if I've picked this yet, but my pick is this Vim plugin called, I think it's like Vim RSpec or RSpec Vim. And I've been dabbling a little bit with RSpec because I don't know. It's just like one of those things where I want to try it out. I've historically have been a mini test person. We're talking about like Ruby on Rails and Ruby
test projects,
the test framework. But I specifically like this Vim plugin because it lets me run tests, RSpec specs. I don't know. It lets me run RSpec really quickly with like two commands or two keystrokes. So if I hit my, like my comma and I hit the S key, it will like run the test that I'm currently highlighted over in my terminal. And all I have to do is like press enter, and then it like shoots me back to my text editor, which is like a really quick way of going about like my, like the TDD loop, right? Because like all I have to do is press these two keystrokes. I see the test, I dismiss it. I could like even binding pry in it, whatever.
Wow.
And it's like just so much easier for me to do this over like setting up guard and then or like doing all this like stuff. And I don't know if Minitest has an equivalent to this, but I just thought that this was like a really fun and quick way to, see my tests in the same like window and not have to like copy and paste like the path and then, or do like Rails test models or like do like all these like other things. Just saves me a lot of time. And I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, that looks really cool. I'll have to check that out, except I'm not a Vim man, and I don't intend to be. But that's really cool overall. So the TLDR on that is, like, if you use RSpec and Vim, like, have fun at this because it's really useful, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, cool. Nice. So I have two picks here. My first one is calling out CSS handoff and design software. I was working with one of my lead devs like only maybe a couple months ago, and like he didn't know that Figma had a tab on it that shows you all the CSS on the current designer's design. Which is amazing. So if you're looking okay, cool. So like, that's why I'm calling this out as a tip, because you can look at a design and like, you can click on that element and there's actually a tab that says CSS and it gives you full CSS for that specific design. And actually like pushing that a little bit further, like I've had a lot of fun like figuring out a cool gradient and then going and inspecting the CSS and then using it from there. Like, cause like sometimes this stuff can be a little bit hard to figure out, get your head around how they work. But what's cool too is to like play with a design and then see how Figma renders that CSS to connect the dots and like how to learn how to implement it. Now, of course, Figma's auto-generated CSS is not always going to be the best approach or the most performant thing, but in reality, it gives you a really good starting point to know like, oh, what the fuck are all these different like custom attributes on this drop shadow and shit? It's like, don't sit there and try to nitpick it. You literally can go copy and paste it. Both Figma and Sketch have this functionality. Sketch is a little bit more under the hood. You have to right click and click copy CSS, and then it gives you the CSS for that specific element you've selected. It's a really, really useful for trying to implement, especially something that's like very specifically hyper-designed from a design. Like don't have them hand over JPEGs or PNGs to you. Have them hand over the actual file so you can copy out that code as a starting point, or just even look at it to reference it. So that's my first pick. My second pick is Repicking RefactoringUI.com. It's a book called Refactoring UI, and it's the exact same guy behind who created Tailwind, actually. And it's just a fantastic front-end design book. It is like, you sit down with this book for 3 hours, and you will, if you haven't read it, you're going to 2-3x your design skills right off the bat. It's just a fantastic reference. I've read through it a couple times now, and it's awesome. I also linked that Asignal Div site here, too, for that CSS, just so you can check it out.
So is that for designers or is that for developers?
So it's kind of targeted at both. I would recommend it to both designers and developers. So like the pitch here is, it says literally at the top, tired of relying on Bootstrap? Learn how to design awesome UIs yourself by using specific tattoos explained from a developer's point of view. So it's very much like developer first design. So if you're a developer only, you kind of just use boring Bootstrap, this is the perfect like content to like make, like when we're talking about like do something outside the box or Bootstrap, like this is the exact book you should go through to like how to one up your design skills.
Very cool. Okay. I love that. And I love a single div. I'm glad I remembered that, because sometimes I just go through that and like scroll through it and I inspect it. And I'm just like amazed at like, here I am having trouble centering a fucking div and here people are making portraits of people.
The Mona Lisa. It's crazy. Yeah. Anyway, thanks so much for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next episode.
See ya.